The Big DL makes his triumphant return to RCST. Catch David Lawrence joining Nick Schwert on Rock Chalk Sports Talk every Monday from 4 to 6, right here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
4 o'clock hour here, Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. It was a big day for the Kansas football program. Three more commitments for the class of 2018, a guy who certainly probably feels pretty good about that. David Lawrence in studio with me for the next couple of hours.
Did you hear me screaming?
Yes, you always come in here and
I've
you
got 10
have
names
something to yell
that
at me.
That could have been five-star recruits.
Could have been. Keyword, could
Some
have been.
Some of them definitely. At least a four-star. John Kirby knows who they are.
Of course he does. Because between you two...
Kirby.
I don't know if we need anybody else to talk KU football.
I know, and Kirby has to know now that anytime something big releases in football, I'm texting him. I'm texting him this morning at about 5:30.
Waking him up. Do we have John Kirby on the line? John Kirby of Jayhawk Slant with us. John, how are you?
Good, Nick, David. How you guys doing?
I'm good, man. I'm sorry for the early text, man. You had me at the first signee or the commitment, the promise. But then, you know, the JCs that came on top of that, I was so excited I couldn't sleep.
Well, David, I know you like those O linemen and D line guys after knowing you for some time. And if you look at what they've done here, their last five commitments have all been on the defensive line. And there's some highly regarded guys. I mean, these are guys with a pretty nice offer list of, you know, that ranges from anywhere from TCU to Oklahoma and, you know, just keep on going down the line. So it's been a pretty successful start to the summer for these guys.
Is the timing of that, John, the fact that they're getting all of these linemen in succession, is that coincidental, or are they making a concerted effort to target that area?
Well, Nick, I think it's a concerted effort. Back in the spring, when I had a chance to talk to Kenny Perry, you know, we were talking about position groups, and once it was over, I talked to him about recruiting. I said, you know, is there anything specifically coming up in this class? And he goes, no. He goes, it's going to be the basic recruiting board, you know, the typical, you know, how they always lay it out. He goes, we are going to have to address defensive line. We've got to do that. And I'll tell you what they've done here since like May 19th, and then even with Miles Emery from Blue Valley North last week. I mean, it's been a pretty impressive haul to see them do this. You know, the one thing we've always talked about, people who follow KU, is sometimes the struggles they've had getting defensive linemen, you know, to commit and get them to sign and then get them on campus and have them produce. But this has been, I don't know if I've ever seen this, covering these guys since about 1999. I've never seen the defensive linemen stack up like this.
John Kirby of Jayhawk Slant joins us on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. So give us a little thumbnail sketch on these three guys, and then just kind of go through, you know, best case scenario, worst case scenario, and what would be the most typical scenario as far as holding on to the number of verbal commits we have so far.
Well, David, I'll tell you what, I'll start with the with your last part there, hanging on. And, you know, this is just a reality thing. Kansas is going to have hang on. And the coaches know that. And I think the fans know that. But you've got some guys who are committed to KU here right now early on. I mean, you're talking about the 12th-ranked class in the country. And what's funny is I was telling somebody that the other day, and some guy looked at me and goes, you talking about basketball? I said, no, I'm talking about football. So, I mean, you know, this is kind of uncharted water. So, there's going to be work. There's work getting them committed. Now there's probably going to be as much or more work to keep these guys committed because a lot of these guys were very highly sought after. You know, I'm going to start with the two teammates from Copiah Lincoln. You know, there's a little bit of a connection there. Micah Davis, who was a GA under David Beatty, is now on staff there at Copiah, and his father is the head football coach there. So they had a pretty good beat on these two defensive tackles. One is Jonathan Loahea, and he's about 6'3", 305. And I'll tell you guys, if you guys ever got on Twitter and pulled his page up and see some of the workout videos he puts on there, I mean, some of the things he does with some of the agility drills and some of the explosion. It's almost like he's got his own little highlights up there just to impress people. And I know he's picked up some scholarship offers just based off some of the film he puts of him working out, you know, out in the grass fields and things. So he's had TCU really wants him bad. And that's one that still has a little bit of a concern. I know K-State wanted him bad, and I know they're still hoping he visits. And he had a lot of scholarship offers. And then his teammate who lines up next to him, Charles Cameron, he's a 6'3", 290-pound D-tackle. And I was just breaking down his film this weekend. And again, he's explosive. You know, he's one of those two-gap linemen, one of those big guys who can play two gaps and not just one. You know, I'm not saying they're like Alabama's guys, but, you know, Alabama has a bunch of two-gap linemen that are so good in being that big, they can play two gaps, and that's what he can do. So, hey, if you're going to play those guys this year, if you're going to be an offensive lineman and you got to line up against these two guys, both in the middle of the line, you're going to have your hands full. And then the last one was Josh Smith, who's a 6'4", 250-pound defensive end out of New Orleans. You know, obviously Tony Hole, that has his fingerprint all over it. And Kansas was on him early. And again, you know, a big offer list. And he came up on an unofficial visit and committed there.
We're talking to John Kirby here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. And Smith went to the same high school, or his teammates, right, with the two big marquee names on this recruiting class, Corion Harris and, of course, Devontae Jason, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's a Landry Walker is a pretty good school to have some contacts into. And, you know, the defensive coordinator from there came up and spoke at KU's clinic, I believe, in February. So, you know, Tony Hole's done a pretty good job of making those guys down there feel that KU connection. And, you know, one thing I want to say, people ask, how are they getting these guys? You know, obviously Tony Hole is a huge reason. But, you know, Mike Lee is like a superstar down there. Because I've talked to people down in New Orleans, and they all talk about Mike Lee. All these high school recruits down there, they know who Mike Lee is. You know, he made freshman All-American lists and things like that. So he's a pretty big name down there, and these recruits are watching him, and they see what he's done at Kansas. So those guys down in New Orleans know, if you can play and you go to KU, it doesn't matter what state you're from, what city you're from, they'll play you. And the fact that, you know, they've got a kid from New Orleans that stood out like Mike Lee did, that's really helping a lot down there with those kids and the exposure.
You know, I mentioned Devontae Jason and Corion Harris, who are 5-star, 4-star, respectively, on your guys' website. Is this class good enough to this point to where if something did transpire and those guys decided they wanted to go elsewhere, how would this class still rank very favorably, not just in the David Beatty era, but over the past decade or so of Kansas football?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of quality kids. Obviously, you take those two kids out of the mix. I mean, you know, it would, you know, these rankings are done with a computer formula and things like that. So, you know, you take those for what they're worth. So, but if you take those two guys off of it, you know, the class would take a little bit of a numerical hit for sure in like the national rankings, because those are kind of probably the two marquee names right up there on the list. But if you took them off, you would still look at this class for where Kansas usually is, Nick, at this time of the year, and say, this is still a really good class, especially early on in June.
John, I'm sure you know this, that for Kansas to be good again, they need to make inroads in the state of Kansas, in the Kansas City area. That's where, you know, their bread is buttered. And of course, I know recently they got a big verbal there. How many Kansas kids are left out there on the map that have not verbaled, and can Kansas, using some of the juice from this, maybe get more of those guys?
Well, David, as you've known following recruiting, there's just the state of Kansas, it is what it is. I mean, you know, you can usually count on about 7 to 12 guys who are going to go D1. It always seems like there's always that one or two top-end guy that always leaves the state and goes to Nebraska or Oklahoma. But the last commitment they got last week from Miles Emery from Blue Valley North, who, by the way, had an offer from Oklahoma, he's the number two ranked player in the state of Kansas. And I know the number one ranked player in the state is Jace Reuter, a quarterback out of Norton, who Kansas doesn't appear to be going on because they've got their quarterback. So really, they're not in hot pursuit of the number one guy, but they were number two. So, you know, that's a big thing to be able to get Miles Emery. And, you know, last year they got Matt Copeland as well out of Wichita. And when you look at last year, I think they did a pretty good job. You know, Cooper Root from Wichita. Boy, I tell you off the top of my head, they also got Joey Gilbertson. They got Hunter Kaufman. They got Jay Dineen. They, Kenyon Tabor, the wide receiver, tight end out of Derby. Kansas did some good things last year. And, you know, this Kansas blast, I think it's paid off because they've gone out and gotten in front of a lot of coaches throughout the school. I know before the state playoffs started last year, David Beatty sent his staff out to visit every school that was playing in a state title game, like the day before they played. So Kansas, last week, they had 1,100 kids on campus for their KU team camp, and most all those guys are all local. So Kansas, through guys like Gene Weir and Jeff Jordan and some of those guys maybe you don't hear as much of that work on the inside, they've done a good job of keeping and cultivating relationships with these local coaches to be able to go after the guys that you can. You know, like I said, you can't live off the recruits in the state of Kansas, but boy, if you can get 2 to 4 every year of the good ones, that'll go a long way.
You know, John, hearing people's varying theories on how KU gets back on track in recruiting, you know, you'll hear people say, well, you know, they need to know what Mangino did. They need to go and get those lesser recruited guys from Texas or go out to the West Coast to California. And then you hear people say, well, maybe they need to be reinvigorated. Go get some JUCO guys. Hey, Bill Snyder's won by, you know, dominating the state of Kansas. Maybe they need to do more of that. What has been the identity when it comes to recruiting under David Beatty so far?
Well, it's different with Beatty because, I mean, Beatty's a go-getter. You know, when he was at Texas A&M, I mean, he recruited a lot of their 4- and 5-star recruits. So whereas you take a guy like me who's followed Kansas, I've always, a lot of the time, have gone under the philosophy of doing what you just said under Mangino. You got to work hard. You've got to be smart. You've got to evaluate well. And you've got to go get guys that fit your system and maybe develop them. You know, hey, Aqib Talib was a 2-star kid. Chris Harris was 2 stars. You could go up and down the – Charles Gordon was 2 stars. Charlton Keith, you could go up and down the line, okay? But if you tell that to David Beatty, he'd laugh at you because it's not in David Beatty's – It's not the way he's wired, okay? He's not going to sit here and say, oh, why don't I go after some unrecruited guys because we can get them? No, I'm going after the best. I'm going to have the best guys tell me, no, I don't want to KU, go to KU. Then we'll move down and go get the next guy on the list. But if you've looked at what Beatty does, I mean, he starts high and goes high. And I know, I remember the stories when Mangino was there, and he used to tell his guys, bring me guys we can sign. Don't bring me these guys who are unrealistic. Bring me the guys that when we spend time recruiting them, we have a legitimate chance at. I think David Beatty's like, hey, you bring me the best we can get, and we're going to go after them.
And what you're seeing, John, is somewhat of a transformation starting by the locker room, state-of-the-art locker room. In fact, I'm going to go and tour that again with some of my cronies from the 80s after this show. And you know, the blueprints at some point in time for the future of a stadium that'll be built in what I still think is the most beautiful setting for college football. And then just the word on David Beatty is that people like him, he can win at Kansas. So the Scott Francis of the world don't go to K-State. Of course, Scott from Lawrence Free State. And incidentally, let me check on how much you've done your homework for the future. Have you heard about the future offensive tackles at Free State High School? One will be a sophomore, one will be a junior this year. And I'm telling you, John, both of them will be top recruits in the state of Kansas before everything is said and done.
David, I'll tell you what, I haven't looked into the Free State, but I did get a call from a couple coaches who went up against Free State at KU's camp, and they told me that there are some underclassmen at Free State that you got to go watch because they're going to be on the D1 radar.
Yeah, yeah. No question about that, and we'll be talking about those here. But, yeah, one just a sophomore, 6'6", 285, and then a junior basketball player who's 6'5", 310 pounds with great feet.
And, you know, maybe 2 years ago, if you tell me about those kinds of guys, I would say that's how you build the program at Kansas. You've got to first get the guys who are right in your backyard, and then you spread out across the state. But John, if you were talking about Beatty, and he's not scared off by the fact that, you know, he was recruiting the big names at Texas A&M, he's going to continue to do that at KU. If we were to go back 2 years ago, 3 years ago, before Beatty had officially signed on at Kansas, and I told you that was the strategy that he was going to employ on the recruiting trail, what would your reaction have been?
Yeah, I would have been probably lukewarm. You know, I've known Beatty from his first two stops here, and you know, gotten very familiar with him. But I would have told you, yeah, I don't know if that's the strategy. And obviously, I would be dead wrong. But I would be a little more, hey, let's the old man Gino. Let's go get guys you can get instead of shooting high and maybe wasting 2-3 months recruiting a kid when you could have been planting the seeds with a guy you could get. I would have probably told you that I'm not sure about that strategy.
Okay, so let's circle back to the first question, John. Just in your observation of the recruiting game, let's just say that Kansas continues to get more juice with the commitments that they have, wins a couple of big games again this year, kind of adds something to the resume, not just the one with Texas. You know, what can happen? What could be the storyline come signing day next February?
Well, if they win a couple games and continue to recruit like this, the storyline might be that Zinger needs to tear up Beatty's contract that he just signed and rework him a new one. Because, you know, they're doing some stuff right now that I've never seen done. And, you know, I mean, David, you know, still, if you think about it, they were 2-10 last year. And I know that the win over Texas was big, but think about this. They're doing this coming off a 2-10 season. Now they've got the new lockers. You know, they just redid the practice field. They've got new players lounge, new meeting rooms. And I know they're still doing some upgrades inside Anderson there. You take that. And you put, you know, 4 or 5 wins on the board now. And now all of a sudden you start thinking, okay, what's the limit now? We're seeing this success with 2 wins. What happens if they win 4 or 5? What happens if they get to a bowl game? What if they find a way to win 6 games? I mean, you know, geez, they might have their 25 scholarships filled up by June.
And if that happens, RCST goes on until 8 o'clock.
There you go.
All fall.
I'm all about it.
Because. Hey, I'm with you. I'll be right there with you guys.
John, you are the best man, the best Kansas recruiting analyst personified in front of your eyes. He is John Kirby of Jayhawk Slant. Appreciate the time as always, John.
Thanks, John.
All right, guys. Take care.
All righty. That's John Kirby of Jayhawk Slant. I'm Nick Schwert with David Lawrence, Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. David, before in the last hour, I'm sure you heard it coming in because you are a dedicated listener to this program. I said that I think that there are always going to be built-in skepticisms when you talk about these 4- and 5-star recruits because you are, I think, even if you're the biggest diehard, which I think you are, I don't know anybody who cares more about Kansas football than I do, I think you're just conditioned to understand that 5-star wide receivers don't commit to win programs. Like, something is off there. Like, are you the same way as being an eternal optimist with this program? Are you to the point of you kind of wonder if this is too good to be true as well?
No, I think this can all happen.
I mean, it can happen too, but it's just I'm shaky on it.
You're just a product of your age in that.
This is not an age thing.
This has never happened before. Well, of course it happened before. You know, it's been 30 years.
Who's the best example of it?
I don't know. I count 10 potential 5-star recruits that I just happen to write down.
But what was the state of the program at the time those guys were coming in? Okay, well, I'm assuming you're referring to like David James and Nolan Cromwell.
James, yes.
James, uh-huh. That's what I said. Okay. You must have misheard me. That's your age playing a factor into this.
That was quick. Kansas is not in virgin territory taking a tumble down to the very bottom. But, yes, it really wasn't until Bud Moore probably that Kansas got to be the doormat. And then
always comes back to old Bud Moore.
I know. People don't even – everything falls on Bud. They Famber pulled us out of there and, you know, Godfrey kind of put Valicini back in there and – and then, we got a good ball coach in Glenn Mason. But then with Terry Allen, you know, we we spent some time back down there again. And then after that, you know, it's the back-to-back bad hires, okay? The Gil Weiss back-to-back. I mean, yeah. The only one who can survive that, you know, all this was happening. I don't know if I've talked about Bob Stoops, but
we'll talk about that in the next hour, by the way.
Previous to Bob Stoops being hired, Oklahoma goes back-to-back horrible hires, and they recovered magnificently under Bob Stoops. And that happened because A, of Bob Stoops, B, it's Oklahoma. But you know, so other schools have survived back-to-back bad coaches. Kansas can't really do that, and that's why they, you know, got to stick in there with David Beatty. He's got to succeed, and we've got to pull ourselves out of this because, yes, we can do this. We've had top recruits, John Hadle, Gale Sayers, Ray Evans, Don Fambro, Nolan Cromwell, Mike Butler, Don Good, to name others.
I just think that my skepticism, and it's multi-layered, but the thing with me is that everything happens so much quicker now, and it's really easy for these assistant coaches to reach out, the same way it is for KU coaches to maintain the relationship with these kids. But the ammunition against KU is going to be coming from every single direction, and he's doing something that in today's day and age, kids don't do it. The guy from Farrell from Rivals, he called him a unicorn because he's never seen it before, and he's not sure if it exists. Like, he's not sure if kids like this, if it's possible for them to end up at a program like Kansas.
And you know, you and Derek are closer to the age of these kids.
Right.
So I can understand that. And you know, that's probably, you're a better example of, you know, stating your feelings because, you know, when you only go back 10 years since you were a kid, you know, the back-to-back bad hires at Kansas represent your entire memory. And you don't have any memory of Kansas football because, you know, the Orange Bowl's now been 11 years, and you can't go back that far. But you can go back to the embarrassing days where we were really, really struggling.
I remember the Terry Allen years. That was my first memory of Kansas football. But I've got some pretty cool memorabilia from the Orange Bowl season. I've got a piece of a goalpost in my apartment. I've got a pylon. I've got some cool stuff. Now, I didn't buy these. They were obtained illegally. So I guess if you want to come after me, if the feds want to come after me and reclaim that property for Kansas football, that's fine. But I've got a piece of the goalpost from the game against Nebraska that broke the 35-year streak. How about that?
Nice.
I waited around at Potter Lake for the athletic department, because when they do that, when they throw the goalposts in the lake, they have to send in like a board of people from the athletic department to come and determine if they are usable again, if they can pull it out and reuse them. And they came down and said no. So I lopped off about a 6-foot chunk of that bad boy.
Wow. Nice get.
Isn't that great?
But to finish off this comment, because I know we're behind on a break, it is relative to who we play. You know, Terry Allen stayed around here for a longer period of time because there were a number of programs that were playing today that were struggling back then. I mean, you beat Oklahoma State half the time. You beat Missouri half the time. Baylor was bad. K-State had already found itself. Iowa State, you know, has been in and out of some issues. Texas Tech was horrible. And so these are programs that have now found themselves. Texas Tech might be the only one, if you're to test the thermometer out there, might be pointing downward, you know, that they're descending. It's hard to really put any money on anyone else going in that direction. So somebody is going to take a tumble, and so those factors kind of play in there.
He's David Lawrence. I'm Nick Schwartz. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We will do a mailbag with one David Lawrence coming up at 4:45 in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk to Mike Grossner of Baker and Dirk Wed of LHS. But coming up next, it's your Monday news break. The worst example of, hey, that guy looks like you, ever.